spot here against Shea Given. It's Baines, and Shea Given's so unfortunate.
It's a grand old team to play for. It's a grand old team to support. And if you know your history, it's enough to make your heart go whoa.
Hello, welcome back to the Grand Old Team podcast. I'm Adam Partington. Before we get going, we've got the Kevin Campbell interview. We sent Brendan along, our camera guy, to interview him last week in at Goodison as part of the Heritage 125 Years of Goodison launch that we did. And I was at work, so I'd send Brendan along to do that. But that's on YouTube now. And we asked Kev some quick fire questions, so it's worth going over to there and checking that out. Remember also on iTunes as well, if you listen to this on SoundCloud, get over to iTunes and subscribe on there if you use iPhone. And also remember to check out grandoldteam.com, and if you haven't yet, sign up to the forum on there so you can debate all things Everton. And also, you know, we are looking for sponsorship this year as well, so if you want to maybe sponsor a certain element of the site, or you know, you want to sponsor this podcast, you're more than welcome to do that. So just obviously reach out and have a chat with us if that's something that takes your fancy. But this podcast is a Behind Enemy Lines podcast, and I'm joined by David from the Wizards of Drivel, which is a brilliantly named podcast. Far more creative than a Grand Old Team, I think, David. So well in there, mate. Was that your idea?
Yeah, it was.
I'll take credit for it. I like it, David. Yeah,
definitely. One of our lot was on TalkSport the other day. One of the guys who does the podcast with me, and they cited it as being a great name as well. So I'm feeling pretty good about it this week.
You should do, mate. It's terrific. And how long have you been doing the Wizards of Drivel then? Obviously focused purely on Stoke City.
Yeah, we started in May 2016. So this will be our second full season, if you like, doing the podcast. We're on 63 episodes at the moment, so perhaps we'll reach 100 by the end of the season.
Yeah, perhaps. Well, that's good going. So we're a little bit newer than that, David, but we're finding our way with this podcast business. So obviously you're an avid Stoke City supporter. Summarise pre-season for us from your perspective then. How's it gone? Are you content with the way things have gone in terms of on the pitch?
Well, I don't think any Stoke fans really content at the moment, to be honest with you. I think in terms of our pre-season preparation, I mean, in terms of the friendlies and stuff, they've gone generally okay, as much as you can read into pre-season results. I watched us play at Bolton, pre-season friendly there, where we won 2-1. We looked all right. We're playing a 3-4-3 system, which I have my doubts about, but it seemed to be working okay. But yeah, the big concerns among the Stoke fan base at the moment have been about Stoke's transfer activity, or rather lack of it. We've signed Darren Fletcher on a free, Kurt Zouma on a loan, and this lad Choupo-Moting on a free. And they've been the only additions, but at the same time, we've lost Marko Arnautovic, arguably our best player, to West Ham, which is a massive, massive loss. And we're also without Glenn Whelan and Johnny Walters, who I personally am okay with them leaving, but there's sections of the fan base who really like those players as well. So it's just a sense of frustration that we haven't got as many deals as we would have liked done yet. I think at the end of last season, we all said we needed the squad to be refreshed quite a bit. And that's half happened, but there's still some problem areas that I think we need to sort out before we can say it's been a good window.
Yeah, so there's quite a bit to unpack there. From the outside looking in, it's a bit strange what's going on at Stoke at the moment with regards to the fact of the way that the club's run. You know, it's a well-run club. Obviously, Peter Coates is the chairman, isn't he? And I know his daughter has a lot to do with it as well, and I think his son. And I can't quite work out why we've got to this point with Stoke, at this point in the transfer window, and they haven't gone out and spent, you know, a bit of cash. It's a bit strange, and they don't strike me as the kind of club that's, you know, would naturally sleepwalk into, you know, into the season in this way. So, you know, to obviously bring it back to Everton, there was a time when Everton didn't have a lot of cash, as you'll remember, you know, a few seasons ago, and this would frequently happen for us. We'd start the new season with the same squad, but at your place, you know, you've got the resources. So what's going on? Is it the fact that they just don't trust Mark Hughes, or or what?
Yeah, I did wonder about that, the Mark Hughes factor. And there might be something in it. There might be an argument to say, look, Mark Hughes might operate better if he has less money. You can look at clubs like QPR and Man City, where he's had loads of money, perhaps not spent it as well as he should have done. And you look at some of the signings he's made at Stoke, like our record signing, Gianelli and Bouley, signed for 18 million, hasn't worked out at all. So there might be a degree to which we're kind of reining in the spending. I think he's by and large trusted by the boardroom, if you like. I think they've stuck by him after a pretty poor last season. So I think they obviously still do trust him. And one of the things we kept saying on the podcast last season was, even if you kind of lost faith in Mark Hughes, we'd never lose faith in Peter Coates after what he's done. He's a very astute chairman. He's invested the right amount of money. He's not just thrown money at it. He's invested kind of the right levels of money for what we needed at each time. We've expanded the stadium this summer, so we've filled in one of those corners at the Bet365 stadium. So I think there's ambition there. It's just I'm not sure that we're going to be throwing wads of cash at players. I think that there are players that we're clearly interested in, and it's just taken a while to get. I mean, Bruno Martins-Indy is a guy that we all want to sign. He was great on loan for us last season, and I think we'll be able to get him for around £7 million. But that deal has taken such a long time, and that kind of adds to the frustration of the window. The longer these deals take, the more anxious you get. So I think we will see a couple more additions come in, Bruno Martins-Indy being one of them, and maybe a midfielder or an attacking player. So it goes back to this whole just the more inactive you are, then the kind of the anxiety among the fan base grows.
Yeah.
But I think it's just one of those things that we're going to have to be patient.
Right, yeah, no, definitely. I mean, this is a symptom of, I suppose, of the times, to be honest. You know, football fans now are a little bit more, should we say, impatient than they maybe were historically due to the fact of the introduction of things like social media. It's on the go now 24/7. Another thing that's been quite interesting from the outside looking in, and this, again, is kind of in relation to Everton in a weird, tedious link kind way, Dave, and that's Arnautovic, because last summer we were linked with Arnautovic, and the rumour was that he actually, you know, turned down Everton and signed a new contract at Stoke, only to then eventually have to push a move to West Ham. From your perspective, though, as a Stoke supporter, is it a little bit? Do you get a little bit excited now at the fact that you're going to have a game where West Ham come to town and Arnautovic is going to come back? And do you think that could potentially, you know, galvanise you a little bit? Because you don't obviously have a derby, do you, in the league? I know you've got the Arsenal thing going on, where you know, that's a strange thing that's kind of come out of your time in the Premier League. But you don't have that derby as such. I know people tell, you know, West Brom is the thing. But do you think now that, you know, the West Ham game is the one that you'll look at and go, do you know what, when he comes back, we'll give him some stick and it'll kind of galvanise a little bit?
Absolutely. I think a lot of Stoke fans have earmarked, like, Arnautovic's return to Stoke on Trent as being a game we'll be definitely up for. I think a lot of people have been calling him a snake this summer and have called this game at the Bet365 Stadium Whacking Day after the Simpsons. So I think, there's a lot of anger at Arnautovic because he left, but just the manner of his departure, going to another mid-table team and citing a lack of ambition when, you know, you're at Stoke, mate. You know what we are.
Yeah, yeah.
And you were perfectly happy to sign the contract last summer. Whether we made promises in that contract that weren't fulfilled, I mean, I think essentially what's happened there is his brother is kind of seeing the dollar signs in his eyes and trying to force this move through. London might be a factor as well, of course. But
so his brother's his agent. Oh, that's a recipe for disaster, isn't it?
Yeah.
You've got a family man. I mean, agents get a bad rep most of the time anyway, and rightly so. But having your brother as your agent is a bad idea. In a way. I suppose on the flip side, you could say, well, you know, your brother would probably have a higher probability of having your best interests at heart. But if your brother's a bit of a knobhead, you know what I mean? You're in trouble then, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. I think. Daniel Arnautovic is public enemy number two, just after Marco, I think. So,
Do you know what, mate? It's good to have those games, though, David. Honestly, like, because through the years, we've had a few at Everton. One being was when the one that sticks out in my mind, which is kind of similar, but not so much, is Lescott to City. And yeah, he obviously, you know, was pushing for that and then played the first game of the season. I think we played Arsenal and we got twatted at Goodison. And he literally just didn't try. He literally just stood around. And, you know, it's kind of... And then obviously, you know, when he went to City, everyone was, oh, you know, when he comes back, and I think he was injured for that game. But the point being is that, you know, sometimes when these players come back, it just kind of adds a little dynamic to the fixture that wasn't there before, maybe. And it gets a little bit exciting. So from a Stoke fan, then, as obviously we're on an Everton podcast, and you've told us a little bit about Stoke's lack of signings this summer and the preseason. When you look at Everton now and what we're doing, how do you see it as a supporter of another club, Dave?
I think Everton, I don't know if you get this impression or not, but I think Everton are fairly well respected, certainly by fans of clubs like lower down the leagues and stuff. I think Everton are seen as quite nice, perhaps because you've got like more successful neighbours and things like that. But I think in terms of your business this summer, I think there's certainly a strong case for you to have had like one of the best windows of all the Premier League clubs. I mean, I'm looking at a list of your signings now. Michael Keane, Jordan Pickford, they've got proven experience in the Premier League. They're good additions. Klassen, I think, is going to be a good addition. But I think the real diamond could be Sandro Ramirez. He's 14 goals for Malaga last season, and you've got him for about just over 5 million, I think. Young guy, Barcelona product. I mean, if he clicks for you, you know, the ingredients are there of a quality player. And I think I've always had a kind of respect for Everton, and You've made good signings. Obviously, Wayne Rooney, I think, could go either way, but free transfer at the end of the day, I suppose. And Ronald Koeman, I mean, I think you've got a quality manager there. I think you're shaping up to be the best of the rest. Whilst you've made good signings, I think it's very, very hard to break that top six. Now, I think the top six is kind of fairly established. Maybe one of them could have a bad season. But I think you guys should kind of consider anything below seventh a disappointment, really, given your signings, given your manager, and given you've... And if you signed Gylfi Sigurdsson, then, wow, maybe you could break the top six. But, yeah, impressive business so far. I mean, obviously, Lukaku's a big loss for you guys, but, yeah, I mean, you've reinvested that money wisely.
Yeah, it's gonna be really tough. I actually agree. I did a preview for a betting site. And I said that, you know, I said, like, I can't see. It's not that we won't improve. It's just I can't see who above us we're going to manage to nudge out the way. For me, the focus would be maintaining that seventh place, you know, position in the league and cementing that and just watching over our backs a little bit for the likes of Leicester. Maybe yourselves, you know, West Ham, etc., who spent a bit of cash. And then getting that locked down and then going on and trying to win a trophy. As an Evertonian, you know, absolutely desperate for 20-odd years. So it's one of them. And do you as a Stoke fan still kind of look at Everton and say, do you know, they are the side that we try and we do want to catch? Or have you, because of the lack of signings that you've made this summer and the way you're going into the season, have you kind of given up on that now? I know last season, you know, you would have pinpointed us as a side that you'd want to try and finish above, but is that still there, or have you kind of let go of that?
Yeah, I think I've kind of let go of it, certainly this season. Perhaps in previous seasons, I would have looked at Everton as a team we could finish above. I think we may have even finished above you in a couple of seasons. I'm not entirely sure on that. But yeah, Everton, like I say, you're the best of the rest of the league, if you like. And I don't think we'll be anywhere near you this season, really. I think we'll be kind of in the lower half of the table, definitely. In terms of like, what I thought when, certainly now, I think a club we should aim at is Southampton, because they seem to have a lot of what we don't have yet. And they've done it having been promoted to the Premier League after us. So they've got a good academy there. They've managed to play entertaining football, still get the crowds in. And they've managed to do that whilst like having constant refreshes of the management. And so you've clearly got to look at them as a club that's got a lot of its crap together, really. So Yeah, I think you guys always seem to be too established for me to suggest Stoke could aim at that. But at the same time, we've been in the Premier League 10 years, so maybe we could catch you one day. I certainly not this season or in the near future. But yeah, you guys, I think when we came up, you guys were like one of the first fixtures we looked for, because you were like properly established top flight club, you know, famous, a grand old team, if you like. But yeah, I don't think we'll be anywhere near you this season.
I like what you did there, mate. That was a great little segue into grand old team. You might as well come on board. Ditch Wizards of the Drivel, mate. Just become an Evertonian and help me with this. No, that was sound. That's interesting that you say that. You know, the way that you kind of view Everton, and you touched on something there with Southampton, that refresh of management that they've continuously done. Sometimes because they wanted to, other times because they didn't have a choice. I.e. Ronald Koeman. But do you think now with Hughes, you've got, so here's the way I see Stoke now, is you've now had Hughes, what, for like four seasons? This would be his fourth season, I think. Am I right there, David?
I think it's his fifth. I think it's coming up to his fifth.
Jesus. So yeah, it's his fifth season now. And I don't know whether you get to a point as a player, some of the lads who've been with him now, have been with Stoke for quite some time, whether or not it just starts to get a bit stale and the whole thing just needs freshening up a little bit. And I think under Martinez, for us, obviously, that, you know, he would say the same things quite frequently. It was a different thing because we really did tank under Martinez. And if he'd have hung around for another season, we'd have gone down. But I sense it a little bit with Stoke. Do you think that you're getting to that point now where if, say, you start the season poorly and you're not just getting results, you're actually playing quite poorly as well? Do you reckon it might be time to pull the plug on him?
I mean, possibly. If you'd have asked me at the end of last season, should we get rid of Mark Hughes, I'd have said yes. Because not only, like, finishing 9th, 13th, whatever, I'm not really bothered about. I'm bothered about how we're playing and, like, does the club seem like it's going somewhere? And last season, it didn't look like we were going anywhere at all. To me, it felt like we'd lost our identity as a team. If you'd have asked me, How does Stoke play? How do they set up? What kind of team are they? And I said, I don't know, because we constantly change tactics all the time. We've not quite clicked as a team. So that was what kind of broke it for me with Mark Hughes. That doesn't mean I want him gone now, because I think it's far too close to the start of the season. And, you know, I'm giving him time to get the guys he wants in. I'm giving him this transfer window to hopefully sort out some of these long-term problems. I mean, we mentioned Southampton earlier. They finished 8th and got to a cup final last season. They still sacked their manager. Yeah. And we stuck by a guy who had one of our worst seasons in the Premier League. It was just like, I went to Stoke games just like dreading it. And we've been in the Premier League 9 seasons and been in mid-table all those seasons. And never before then had I felt bored, because there was always something going on. There was always like something to look forward to. And we kind of lost that last season.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned about his starts of the season there. And every single season under Mark Hughes, we've started poorly, but somehow recovered. But there's a sense this season that if that happens again, then he could go. And our opening fixtures are really tough.
So who got after Everton then?
We're at home to Arsenal. Then we're away at West Brom, which is always a tricky place, and then we're at home to Man United. So it's a really tough start for him. I think even if we have a slow start this season, I think we should probably stick by him again, as much as I have my doubts about that, purely because that means we've got our tough fixtures out the way early doors, and we might have a chance to build on there, as we have done all our other seasons. So if we were going to sack Hughes, the time to do it would have been at the end of last season. And if we are going to sack him this season, the time to do it is at the end of the season. That's providing we've not been in a relegation scrap.
I know what you mean. It's straight, honestly, from the outside looking in, and as I was saying to you before you came on the call, you know, I live and work in the area, so I speak to lots of Stoke fans about it. And one thing that like puzzles them, I think, and it puzzles me as well. I was at the Brit last season when we drew 1-1, and they were quite close games. I was also at Goodison as well, obviously, when it came off Che Gibbons' arse, didn't it, from the penalty. And they were both quite tight games. But one thing I can't work out with Stoke is how when Hughes came in, you know, it was evident what he was trying to do. You know, you talk about, you know, evolving the style of play and keeping hold of the ball a little bit more and being a little bit more kind of progressive with the way. And then he's bringing in players like Shaqiri, Arnautovic, Bojan. And I remember when you came to Goodison, actually, incidentally, the season before that, and the 4-3, which was a mental game. You know, the football Stoke played that day, Hosolu as well, who I think, you know, strikes me as quite a decent player. I know he's been out on loan. And you just, Afellay, again, you know, another good footballer. And like, so you went on this journey and then you kind of peaked then. That was around Christmas 2 years ago, I think. You kind of peaked then. And then it seemed to like now he unraveled. So then, fast forward to February this year when I'm at the Brit watching Everton Stoke. And I was like thinking, what's going on here? Because he's kind of gone backward. Glenn Whelan's in the side, obviously. Charlie, Peter Crouch up top, and you know, you're just going long and on out, just trying to get him around the back. And I just thought, like, what's gone on? Why have you regressed now? So it's almost like he started on this path, you hit a bit of wobbly, kind of strange form, and then he abandoned ship and just went back to what you used to do to a certain extent. And maybe it's a little bit unfair, but do you see what I mean? So I think from the outside looking in again, it's like it's an identity issue with you at the moment. It's strange.
Yeah, I think you've got that spot on. That's been the whole kind of frustration with Mark Hughes is we know he can deliver great things with us. I mean, that Christmas period you talked about there, where we won 4-3 at your place, we also beat Man U 2-0 at home, and we beat Man City 2-0 at home, playing the best stuff I've ever seen Stoke play in my life. It was Shaqiri, Bojan, and Arnautovic like linking up, just playing unbelievable football together.
They were your front three, weren't they?
Bojan was playing a false nine.
Yeah.
A false nine at Stoke, like, who would have thought it? But it was crazy. And like, you thought, wow, if we can keep this up for any length of time, then bloody hell, what an amazing thing that would be. But yeah, like you say, he just lost faith in it. We kind of hit a bad run of results, and he kind of lost faith in the kind of attacking, free-spirited kind of football that had been so good. And he brought in Joe Allen in the summer and played him as a number 10. And he started to get a few goals and we ground out a few results. And it was like, fine, but it's just not as good, is it? And like I say, if we finish ninth playing how we did last season, I'm not really on board with that. But if we finished 14th and had a few more games like that Man City game, like that 4-3 at your place, I'd be happy as Larry, because it's just... Mark Hughes, for me, has lost faith in his own abilities to give us those moments. And that's my big concern with him.
Yeah, it is weird in terms of like... Sorry, were you going to say something then, David? Were you going to finish your point then?
If he manages to bring any kind of sense of that back, any sense of identity to Stoke this season, then it's a successful one. And I'm happy to stick by him.
Yeah, no, of course, I get that. It's just... You know, as a manager, certain managers have a philosophy and they believe in it very strongly. Roberto Martinez, on the other hand, can be criticised for still continuing down the road when, like, buildings were on fire, Johnny knows a zombie apocalypse, and he's still walking towards it. Whereas at least with Mark Hughes, I suppose he's got his idea of the way he wants Stoke to play, you know, that he wants, you could argue that his philosophy is descends from, like, you know, the Barcelona model to a certain extent, and you know, he's got an idea of the way, but at least he's willing to change it, although it hasn't worked. But I think when you try and build a side and imprint, like, you know, this type of DNA on this side and then rip it all up again as the manager, then you've kind of got to fall on your sword a little bit, you know what I mean? It's your kind of thing. So that has puzzled me a little bit. Have you David ever been to Goodison before?
Yeah, I've been a couple of times. Unfortunately, I don't think I've seen us win. I went to that 1-0 defeat at the start of last season. I think my first game at Goodison was our first season up. I think you beat us 3-1.
Yes.
Uh,
But yeah, scored for Everton. I remember that. I think.
Oh God, Joe! Bloody hell!
I know. Talk about bad signings. So he was on loan from City, but yeah. So I was going to ask you then, what's your thoughts on Goodison as an away fan then?
Goodison as a ground, I think is great because you know it's like one of them traditional grounds that you don't really see anymore. It's like in the middle of terraced housing and stuff. It definitely is authentic, but that away end is if you're in the wrong place in that away end, it's like watching a football match through a letterbox. And I looked out last season. We were a bit further forward, so we weren't like underneath the stand, if you like. So
right. We
could see the pitch, but if you're too far back in that lower tier of that stand, then you may as well just have stayed at home, really.
Yeah, you're in trouble, aren't you? I just, you know, it's always nice to get, you know, other supporters' opinions on the stadium. So then just wrapping it up, if there's one Everton player at the moment, I assume last season you would have picked Romelu Lukaku. The other supporters that I spoke to did for Grand Old Team TV when we were doing something on there. But from the current Everton squad then, if you could pick one player and just plonk him into the Stoke side, who would it be?
Good question. I'd probably say someone like Klassen.
Okay. Is that because what Stoke would need, or
That's kind of. I thought about a few of your defenders and stuff. I think actually, having thought about it again, Kevin Morales, I think would really suit us in terms of like giving us more of an option going forward, I suppose. So I'll go with him. Obviously, you've got like quality players all over the park, and I think most of your 11 would improve us in some way anyway. But I'm just thinking in terms of I think we need a bit more edge up front, so Kevin Morales would be one I'd definitely look at.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, I took a lad with me to Goodison last year who is a good mate of mine. He's a Chelsea fan, and he's from down south, and I took him, and he was just raving about Kevin Morales. And as there'll be Evertonians listening to this now who will be utterly bemused why you've said Kevin Morales. Not
right.
Because Kevin Morales isn't necessarily a bad footballer, but because he's your archetypal match of the day type player. Very similar to a certain extent to Arnautovic, although I think Arnautovic has got slightly more than Kevin Morales. I'll accept that. But it seems to be if Kevin Morales came and played for Stoke, I imagine that I would hear the same criticisms levelled at him that I heard about Arnautovic in terms of going missing sometimes. Kevin Morales isn't as stroppy. He's not as much of a knobhead, if we're being honest. But he can drift in and out of games, and you're like, oh, Morales is playing. I completely forgot. But it's interesting that you said that. Another, do you know who I think would be a perfect fit for Stoke at the moment? A good partner, I think. Although I don't know where Joe Allen would fit into this. But a good partner for someone like Darren Fletcher would be James McCarthy. In fact, he's got Stoke written all over him. I mean, he's in your face. You know, he's aggressive. He gets around the pitch. He's a good footballer as well when he's not injured.
He seems like Glenn Whelan Mark II to me, perhaps a better version of Glenn Whelan. So, yeah, like I say, like there's not many Everton players I wouldn't take. I think it's obviously I mentioned like we need stuff up front, but I've also I think we need fullbacks as well. So Seamus Coleman, I know he's injured and stuff, but Seamus Coleman would be a player of his ilk for Stoke. Just someone younger than Glenn Johnson and just better would be.
Glenn Johnson's a weird one. I've got no idea why you've given him a new contract. That is a strange one. I think from your place, although we've signed a very good young keeper in Jordan Pickford, I'd find it hard to see past Jack Butland. I think he's just an exceptional goalkeeper. And
yeah, me too.
I can't. I mean, fair play for you. I think, you know, with the injury has actually been a blessing in disguise, because it means you're going to get him for another season. But I can't see how one of the big clubs aren't going to come after him. Maybe if, you know, United lose De Gea or something, then they'll come knocking for someone like Butland. But we will see. So score prediction for the weekend then, David?
I think you're going to win 1-0.
Okay. So you reckon it'll be a tight one then again?
I'm not even sure it will be a tight one. We might hang on by the skin of our teeth, but I think our defence is a little bit better than it was, and you might take a bit of time for your kind of new signings to click. So that's why I'm not saying you're going to hammer us, but Who knows? Who knows? Maybe Stoke will surprise you.
Who knows? Yeah, to be honest, they wouldn't surprise me. This is the most Everton thing ever. We have this really optimistic good summer and then go into the season bouncing, although there's been a few grumbles over the last few days with regards to what's going on with Sigurdsson and the net spend, but it's nonsense, really. You know, we have had a decent summer, as you said early on in the podcast. It would be the most Everton thing in the world for Stoke to turn up and Peter Crouch to score the winner in like the 86th minute or something. Mm. But as I said, David, we will see what happens. Mate, look, really, really appreciate you coming on. It's been great to have you on. We'll definitely do this again later on in the season when they're at the Britannia. And yeah, thanks for coming on to Grand Old Team, mate.
Thanks for having me, Adam. Good to speak to you.
History, it's enough to make your heart go.